try again.
Fresh Sweetwater Blue, the unofficial beer of County Fishing Radio. It's Thursday night, and you're listening. You're listening to County Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger, and I see a few folks straggling into the chat room. I've got my buddy Jim, another friend here from the ATL. Jim, good evening. How are you, sir? I'm going to make you talk tonight. So.
I'm doing good, Chip. How you doing, man?
All right. We were talking just before the show. I'm easing into building a rod or two, and I've got a couple of, let's see, who's in the chat room? Let's see, we'll go down the line there. GJ Mac 23, Hammerhead 74. Hammerhead, good to see you in there, man. Hopefully you made it through no problems up there at the with Sandy the Hurricane. And R. Lee, what's going on? Scuba Stan, Yak Groupie, that's Melita from Jacksonville, Florida. Scuba Stan in from Chucktown. So I see everybody in, and man, it's been a tough week for weather. It's cooling down. We've got some serious cold weather moving in. It was 36 on my back porch this morning. How about you, Jim?
I think I had a little bit like 37.
Yeah,
is what the thermometer said, but it was sitting in a little bit of the sun. It was chilly. It's been chilly since the front moved in. Right.
Yeah, and I don't think it got much up above, I don't know, like 64, 65 today. It was still chilly. But I know it's getting cold up there, and the folks up in the Northeast, man, our thoughts are with you. And we actually got a friend up there. My wife rides motorcycles with a group of ladies, and one of the ladies' sister, her husband and them, they lost everything in the storm. So we packed up a big old box, came out to like 55 pounds of clothes and stuff, and sent it up there by UPS. So they'll be getting that on Monday or Tuesday, I think. And folks were saying, well, we'll send them a check, you know, and it's like, well, there's no place to go buy anything, you know. So hopefully things will be getting better for folks. I saw tonight on the news that they said there were still about 4 million people without electricity, but DOE was saying they were getting about 1 million a day back online. So hopefully by the first of the week, everybody will have power, and at least if they don't have power, that they're getting some sort of alternative energy source going to keep them warm. So Redfish Chuck just rolled in, and he's here in the studio with us.
Yo.
Yo, Chuck. What's going on, man?
What it is.
What it is? Man, it's it would be messed up to be up in New Jersey, Long Island, or Staten Island, all those places up there right now.
Yeah, that's true, man. It sucks.
Yeah. It just seems crazy to me, you know, that, I mean, Jim and I were talking about earlier before the show, and I mean, I guess some nor'easters don't blow as hard as a hurricane, don't push up as much water, so.
No, and you got to remember that the storm was like 500 miles across or something crazy like that.
Yeah, no kidding.
So it was definitely a super storm, there's no doubt about it. It might not have been a category 4 or 5 or anything like that, but man, when you've got a storm that size for that duration of time, constant wind, constant rain, it's just, man, it's rough.
Yeah, and I just like I don't know, you know, you just think Were we not prepared? Was it bigger than everybody thought? You know, did they not say enough to folks? Did they just not expect it to be like that? I don't know. I'm just kind of, I'm confused at it all. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
I've got my one of my aunts lives up near Queens, New York, and she has 3 feet of water in her house right now.
Right.
And
yeah,
she knew. With it coming, she knew when she heard that it wasn't turning, that she needed to get the heck out of Dodge because they had a full moon, a high tide, and the storm hitting all at the same time. And she's, I think, 3 or 4 blocks from a canal. And so you couple the high tide with the wind, with the rain, with the everything else, and the result is 3 foot of water in her house. And
wow.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when I was little, we had a hurricane hit Long Island, Hurricane Irene, and that was kind of crazy because most folks up there are accustomed to getting the spinoff of what's left over from what has crushed either us or Georgia or the Carolinas or Virginia, you know, the spinoff remnants of a hurricane. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they just weren't prepared, or I don't know, man, it's hard to tell, but when something that size sits on you for as long as this thing did,
yeah,
like I said, I mean, there's no stopping it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pretty amazing. I mean, if you've not been through a hurricane, and I mean, I remember them from being a kid. I don't know, 3 or 4 hurricanes, and then the last one that I sat through was in Pensacola. I think it was 99. Is what we figured out, and. The clone was just a little bitty guy, you know, and we had a couple of horses, and I mean, we just decided, we'll hang on, and it wound up being a cat too when it hit Pensacola, and my goodness, man, that was a tough night there, boy. Just trees, the tops were touching the ground, the winds were just blowing crazy. I mean, it was, oh man. So, I'm thinking, yeah. Always has changed. That's right. You know, I work for a government agency, and we actually have a group called the National Center for Environmental Health. And one of the things that they do is they spend a lot of time looking at trends in climatology and weather, and they put it all into this big GIS database. It's a graphical information system. And it's pretty amazing when you look at the information that they've collected, you know, as far as temperatures, and because it's public health, they relate it to populations, demographics of people who would be most affected by changes in temperature, climatology, that kind of thing. And it's pretty interesting. I think they were right on the ball for this one up there with the storm and stuff. But it's pretty. I mean, like I said, I just posted in there, climate change is happening. I don't care who caused it. You know, I'm not going to argue with anybody about whether it's man and, you know, our use in fossil fuels and all that with that. I think it was a mistake that scientists let it be called global warming because whether the temperature goes up or down, whatever's happening is we're seeing a lot more storms and a lot more weather that is just more unpredictable and more intense, you know. I mean, we lived in California, in Southern California, where, you know, the old song, it never rains in Southern California, or never rains in California. We lived there for about 10 years in just north of San Diego in a little town called Vista. And we didn't have central heat or central air in our house. We had central heat. We had a furnace. And I think out of the 10 years we lived there, I think we turned it on maybe 3 times. The average temperature was 74 degrees year-round, the average humidity about 50%. But since we left there, which was in 98 when we left California, I've seen snowstorms in the areas there and all that kind of stuff, you know, that hurricanes and rain and flooding and all that kind of stuff that it's just crazy. I'm glad I got a bunch of kayaks, man, because when the water rises, I can just tie them all together and paddle on, you know? What do we got not here. Stan just sent me something. You still there, Chuck? Where'd you go, man?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Jim, you still there, man? He's in there playing in the chat room. See the...
Yeah, man, I'm here.
Okay. All right. Stan got a new toy. Oh, my goodness. Nice, dude. So anyway, so much for the weather. Like I said, if you get an opportunity to help out folks up there, the season is upon us, so let's work it out. Chuck, you posted a picture of one of your sponsors' boats today. That's pretty cool, man. The new glow in the dark Cuda.
Illuminati.
The Illuminati.
Illuminati.
Yeah. What color is it when it's just in regular light?
It's like a whitish.
Kind of like a whitish, huh?
Yeah. It's interesting. I shall have a Illuminati Big Tuna shortly.
Huh. Now, you kind of broke up there. You said Illuminati Big Tuna? Is that what you're going for? Oh,
yes,
okay,
I'll
cool.
have an Illuminati Big Tuna shortly.
Oh, all right. Do you think, and I saw somebody say something about it'll attract sharks. Are you going to go night fishing in it?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Now, wait a minute, man. You know, for when you're sword fishing, you put glow sticks in the water. And I've seen a lot of people put those green glow lights in the water around their docks to attract fish and everything.
Well, it might attract fish, and it may attract the shark, who knows. But at the same time, when you're fishing at night, do you ever really know what's underneath you?
Nah.
Yeah, see, I'm not concerned about the sharks that would be in the intercoastal where I'm going to be at fishing in the kayak. So,
nah.
No, it's cool, man. It's definitely a different, it's definitely a different idea.
Yeah.
I think for safety purposes, it's pretty cool. Word I got was that the glow should last approximately 5 hours, which is perfect because at night you don't really do a whole lot of, long night fishing. You go out for just a couple hours and call it a night or whatever, especially down here with the bugs. But, yeah, I think it'd be cool.
I wonder how far you can see that, you know? I mean, I know the picture, it's not too far away. I mean, you didn't take that picture. That was one that Jackson put out, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I'm wondering how far away you could see it.
I actually heard that they helped it a little bit for the picture. Because they wanted to get it where it's like really kind of in your face with the background.
Right. Uh-huh.
I think it's going to glow just about as bright as a soft plastic with glow in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't see it glowing much brighter than that. Now, one of the guys from Jackson told me that if you take a LED headlamp and throw it down on the belly of the boat, it'll keep that thing lit all freaking night. So... which is interesting. So, whatever. I don't know. It'll be cool.
It'll be cool to give it a shot, man.
Yeah. Well, we'll see it at the Boom Dizzle. I might be the only one paddling around in a glow in the dark boat in the middle of the motor zone in the middle of the night.
You know what we'll do is we'll get like some water balloons and those little shooter things, and we'll send you out, and then we'll try to shoot you at night.
That sounds like a great idea.
Doesn't that sound like a great idea, man? Hit Chuck and win a prize.
There you go. Hey, I'm not scared, dude. You know, I mean, bring down some of that sweet water would probably make it even more interesting.
It could be more interesting. You know, when you see all those stupid videos on YouTube and on America's Funniest Videos, you know there's always alcohol involved in many of those things.
You just see this glow-in-the-dark kayak on the video on YouTube, and all of a sudden you see it hurtle when someone drills me in the head with a water balloon. It's awesome.
I know, right? Well, Lita's suggesting that we have a night race at the Boondoggle.
Let's do it.
And then, and since I said the word, now I have to hit the button, right? We'll do the Ricky Bobby one, huh?
Boondoggle, Boondoggle, Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
That's right. And thanks to Steve Chapman there, our buddy from Fishing Florida Radio, for that that nice little teaser there. If you haven't tried it, iHeartRadio, it's an app that you can download for your phone or on your computer. Download that and get it set up. And on Saturday morning, go to Florida Fishing Radio and click on the Listen to Them Live. And from 6 to 9 in the morning for Fishing Florida Radio, it's awesome, man. Listen to Steve and Boudreaux and Captain Mike Ortego. They're a great bunch of guys and always fun to listen to. And they usually have some really cool people on there, too. So, right, Chuck?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Chuck's great been stuff. On there, too, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I got and to get in the studio.
They actually have a little camera in the studio now that you could kind of watch them and stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty cool. But anyways, okay, so Chuck, you asked me about a trailer today, right? Did you get my other post that I sent you about the red trailer?
No.
Yeah, dude.
Text? You sent me a text?
Yeah, it was a text.
Yeah, I got the text. Yeah.
Take a look at that, man. We started putting one together for my brother-in-law. Going to build one up and see how it works out.
Cool.
It's only a couple $100 if you got the coupon. Harbor Freight red trailer. It's got like a 1,000-pound axle on it. And
dang.
You get the one with the 12-inch wheels on it, though, not the little 8-inch wheels.
Right.
Those little rascals go around so fast and everything.
Yeah, but that was our problem with the trailer we brought up to Virginia Beach with us.
Did it do better coming back home when you had more weight on the tongue?
It did, and then the fact that I had it all strapped down to Kingdom Come, it was awesome. I mean, we were running at one point, I think Chris was doing like 80, 85 the whole way back.
Yeah.
Which was a little scary.
Yeah, when you're
trailering, man. I was waiting for those wheels to just melt.
When you're trailering, whatever, you need about 10% of the trailer's weight. You know, a little bit more than 50% forward of that that axle, because if you have it behind, man, that thing just starts dancing around back there and stuff. So
yeah, it was a little crazy.
Yeah. So, but we'll keep our eyes open for you. We find a good one, a good deal. That one that I took to the Boondoggle was just it's kind of like my utility trailer. That's what I normally haul my motorcycles around on and stuff. But we got a Boondoggle machine in the works for the tree hugger family there. I have to take some pictures of it when we get it. It'll probably be in probably late December, early January when they finish building it. I have to take some pictures of it and send it to your rat man and see what he can do, see what kind of design we can come up with.
Well, you could do something crazy. That guy's awesome.
anyways, what else was I going to talk about tonight? It's just been a long week, man. You're going to the No Motor Zone in the morning, you say?
Yes, sir.
Right? How's the fishing been out there?
Incredible.
Yeah?
Yep. My buddy Alan and Steve Brand fished it today. And I think that they said they caught 12 or 14 redfish, all slot-sized fish. Alan got one over slot. He got a 30-incher. All on plastics, and they caught, I think, 15 or 20 trout, almost all of them over 20 inches. Spooked a giant snook off the flat, saw twice as many reds as what they caught, and saw some black drums starting to show up, so that's good.
The big uglies.
Yeah, buddy. So tomorrow I'm hoping to put some hooks and some redfish faces, and I don't know. I've been kicking back and forth the idea of actually slaying one and bringing it home to the Levi household and cooking him on the grill. So that might happen.
A black drum or a redfish?
A redfish.
Yeah.
So I will shed a tear.
Yeah, just, you know, put a little, do a little, moment of silence there, that kind of thing. Just respect the fish, right?
Right.
Jim asks, how clear is the water now at the Goonie? Yeah. And Melita's asking how big were the drum?
That I don't know. I would say probably, if they're the normal drum that hang out on the flats, probably in the 10 to 20 pound range.
Right. Oh, I found some Procure ladyfish.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Procure. Yeah, I use a lot of the Procure. I use the Procure crab scent.
Right.
And I've used the BioEdge crab scent as well.
Uh huh.
And they work. They both work really well for dead stick and plastics.
So. And Melita, listen up there. Ladyfish Procure. That's right. I'm thinking that's going to be like some serious stink. So since I brought up the subject and I meant to bring it up, what do you think about using scents like that?
I'm all for it. Why not, right? I mean, especially in the Mosquito Lagoon in the wintertime when the water gets really cool, my favorite thing in the world to do is throw the Exude crabs. I talk about it every winter. But the Exude crabs have more body movement than any other crab pattern I've ever thrown.
Right.
And I'll take those crabs and I'll soak them for days and days and days on the dashboard of my truck. To where it gets nice and warm and it kind of ferments a little bit and the plastic has time to get soft and then get hard and then get soft, with the cooling of the night and all that stuff. So it kind of really, really absorbs that scent. And you can throw one of those crabs with the crab scent and just dead stick it in and around a school of fish. And it's like a dinner bell, man. I mean, I've literally watched tailing redfish drop the tail down. You could see the fish because, again, the water's crystal clear.
Uh-huh.
And swim straight to it in the grass and find it and eat it.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm all about it. And also, too, a good trick that a lot of folks don't do, the gel doesn't work quite as good as the oil. And, like, BioEdge makes an oil and a gel.
Right.
But, like, I'll take the oil on mornings where I know it's going to be a little bit breezy, and I'll squirt some of that oil on the surface and just kind of let it blow across the flat.
Mm-hmm.
And it really flicks the surface out so you can really pick up those, telltale signs of fish movement and stuff like that when otherwise you wouldn't be able to see it.
One time I took, when I was at Pensacola, I took my flight surgeon fishing with me, right? And the next time I took him, he came out and he had one of those IV rods, and he stuck it in a rod holder and he pulled out a bag and he had it filled up with menhaden oil. And then he had part of the little catheter thing and he just hung it down in the water and he set the little drip on it. So it was like drip, 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 the menhaden oil in the water around the boat. Man. I'm like, Doc, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen, man. But it put a nice slick of oil on the surface, man. And the red snapper were just loving it. So, you're breaking up a little bit there, man.
Sorry. Yeah, one of the things that we do is we'll take the. It's kind of like cheating, but when you want to throw a fly in the wintertime and there's some tailing fish around, but you just can't get quite close enough, what we'll do is we'll take a pack of frozen finger mullet. Because you usually can't find finger mullet in the dead winter. They're non-existent. And chop them up in a chunks not much bigger than maybe an inch and a half, 2 inches, wide each chunk. and just scatter a whole bag of them out across the flat, like, you know, kind of around where you're standing or where your kayak's anchored or whatever. And they'll come in and they'll kind of mill around in the grass looking for all the pieces, and they'll start tailing that way, and then it make for easy targets with a fly rod at that point.
Yeah. You know, I got some of those. Oh man, I'm trying to think. I just thought of the name of them. Now I lost it. But they're these big tube baits, right? You know, like freshwater tubes, and I'm thinking one of these is like 6 inches long. It's a big old gnarly looking thing, right? But I fill it up with that Procure Ladyfish scent, man, and toss it out there, and let that sit there for a little bit, and then just wiggle it every now and then, because it's got like double cut tentacles on the tube, you know. I mean, there's just like 1,000 little tentacles hanging on that thing, and then if you fill that up with that scent, that Procure, I bet that would work. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, give it a try. One Melita had asked, can you have too much scent on your artificial lure?
You asking me?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Or Jim, no. He's in there too.
Uh-uh.
No, not too much?
Nope. No,
I don't
thing.
Think you never put too much on.
Yeah. Now, Jim, you use it freshwater? You use freshwater scent or?
On certain baits, I'll use a little freshwater scent. Depending on the clarity of the water. If I'm fishing
right.
Real clear water, then I usually don't. But if I'm in a little bit off-color water, I'll put a little scent on, especially if I got to use a black or a black and purple kind of, some kind of dark lure to help the fish
right.
find it, you know?
And you use scents for artificials in salt water?
You know, I've been, and Chuck, excuse me, but I've been using a lot of the Gulp. So
right.
when I use the Gulp, I really don't have to put any scent on them. But before the Gulp, I would do either crab, shrimp, or menhaden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending on what the forage is in the area.
Yeah, and you know, something I tried, I hadn't tried it until we went to Virginia Beach, but we went to the tackle shop and visited with Kayak Kevin up there, and fish bites. I don't know if you've tried it, but fish bites is, the cool thing about it is it's all different scents. Those, and you can take little, they make some of it, it's like in strips, and it looks like a big league chewing gum, you know. It's kind of a pink color. Actually, there's different colors for the different scents and stuff, but it's kind of like this gum sort of thing, and it's pressed over a mesh, and on Kayak Kevin's recommendation, I bought some little strips of that stuff in a bloodworm scent, and I just take a little bitty piece and cut it off of there, and just stick it on the end of the hook, you know, just a little piece to tap on the end of the hook along with a plastic, a big paddle tail, and toss that sucker out there, and it was tearing it up. Now the pinfish, if you stopped for anything, I mean, if you didn't keep the bait moving, the pinfish were wearing you out. I mean, just pulling on it, tugging on it all the time. But that stuff has got, it really caught some fish attention out there. So, I don't know. Have you ever tried fish bites there, Chuck?
Yeah, I use them in the surf.
In the surf?
Yeah, for whiting and pompano, black drum.
What flavor?
Shrimp. Or clam. I've used both of those on pompano jigs. And they work
and see,
pretty well.
See, the thing that Kevin said was that with the Gulp, that the Gulp is all the same. You know, maybe a different shape or color, but it's the same scent, the Gulp scent, you know. But where the fish
bites. Yeah, they've got a little squid Gulp.
Right.
The Gulp's got shrimp and a fish that they put on all the grubs, whether it's a jerkbait, stickbait type grub or curly tail grub, and then they got a little, and I use it when there's a lot of wind, it's a little squid Gulp and it's got tentacles and it barely fits on a jig, but you can cast it a mile.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. But there's only three types, only three flavors on the gulp stuff.
Yeah. The fish bites got a little more variety. And then back to the gulp, one is up there. Chuck, did you see the size of those gulp grubs that, that Kevin and them were using?
Yeah, we used the same size gulp grubs for cobia, snapper, and grouper.
Those things are hogs, man. I'd never seen them that big before.
Yeah, we've been using them down here for a number of years, and they work great, man, especially for cobia.
I mean, those things were just huge. I mean, can you cast those big giant things? I mean, I know he's using using like a 2 ounce jig head. You know, they're just for the big reds.
We're doing the same thing. They're on the back of a cobia jig.
Okay. It looked like, you know, maybe five or six of them fit into one of those little gulp bucket, you know, things. I mean, they were so big. But they're all one color, just that chartreuse color, right? They don't make them in different colors?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they make them in all different colors. In fact, pure black is one of my favorite colors for the cobia.
Really? Yeah, I guess it would be kind of like a big old eel out there, especially with that curly tail. Oh. All right. Well, so has the wind died down now out there in your area there, Chuck?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, it's been blowing about 10 to 15 every day, but it's northwest or it's southwest, so it's not too bad. I mean, it's fishable, you know.
Right.
We can still get out and sight fish, so that's good. So it's not too bad. It's supposed to actually calm down a lot in the next couple of days.
Right. All right. Cool. So, any flounder showing up yet?
Actually, yeah. I just talked to a buddy of mine that fished up in the New Smyrna area, and he wrecked them yesterday. And so I was torn whether or not to head north or go out to No Motor Zone. And after talking to Alan and Steve Brand, I was like, I think I'm going to put hooks in redfish faces.
Yeah, the cool weather kind of tends to kick off a good flounder bite. So what's the water temps look like right now?
I'm not real sure what the actual temp is, Chip, but I know that it's definitely cooled off quite a bit.
Right.
It doesn't take long down here for our water to cool. I mean, two or three nights of cold or cooler weather, and it'll drop the water temperature 5 to 10 degrees. So
yeah, we just don't want to get too
shallow.
Cold.
Yeah. No, we're good. Actually, today was beautiful, man. It was like high was in the low 70s, and it's probably 60-something outside right now. So it's perfect.
Right. Cool. All right. So
hopefully we should be able to get everybody on their biggest trout of their life in February.
I mean, you know, I was thinking that, you know, we've seen some big trout, but there's big ones down there, man. So we will be, me and the family, the clones, the wife, and my pop will be headed down that way for Thanksgiving week. We're counting the days down. Do a quick little, maybe one day there at the No Motor Zone just to roll in and do a little pre-fishing. And we're also hoping on planning to fish down there in River Palms, that area. Maybe get a chance to fish a day with Gene and some friends down there. So, but, yeah, the 30-inch trout are down there. I know they are. So, and right now, I don't know if you looked today, but we have 106 people set up to join us at the Boondoggle in February.
And I went through that list, actually.
Did you?
And there's probably another 20 individuals that are on the invited list that haven't clicked I'm going. So,
right.
And then I did notice that on a couple of people's reservations with cars, that there was like you know, so-and-so's name and 2, or so-and-so's name and 5, or
right.
so-and-so's name and 7. So,
what is the tally? Figured, have you talked to Christina lately? What's the tally?
No, I'm not sure. I'm going to talk to her tomorrow, but
okay.
We'll see what she's got to say. But I'm going to say that if we figure that everybody brings at least one other person, that's well over 200 people right there. So,
yeah, exactly. And we've got 557 people invited. So, is that crazy or what?
No, it's awesome. It's awesome.
And I know it sounds like we're, you know, when you've clicked on the event on Facebook, and you know, every time you turn around, we're posting something about the Boondoggle. But we finally got a little bit of attention our way for the Boondoggle, and this is for the folks that show up to the Boondoggles, really. And so we really want to make sure that, you know, when Chuck posts something up for somebody who's going to sponsor us and provide us with a door prize, or sponsoring us with some item or whatever, then we want to make sure that we let them know that we appreciate it and show some support. And so, Chuck, who's the latest to the list, man? Rattle off some folks that we need to sell out to.
Man, there's so many. So many. I'm like holding back so much stuff from you guys. It's
you're keeping secrets,
turnout,
Chuck?
I am. The turnout for this thing, for the door, quote-unquote door prizes, is ridiculous. I actually went over to Kayaks by Bo today, talked to Tom, and I actually had a... persuade him and his wife to allow me to use some of their very valuable storage space in Kayaks by Bo to start housing some of these items, because I got a box sent to the house today from Logic Lures, and Logic Lures sent out, I don't even know how many, man. Probably over 150 individual packs of their tandem rigs. Just a giant box, because they're all in clamshells. So it's like,
that's awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, it's that. What's that?
I said thanks.
Oh yeah, for sure. Those guys are awesome. And then, but like, there's that. And then, like Florida Sportsman today stepped up, and they're gonna give us, I think about a dozen or so of those, of their new kayak books.
Right.
And then they've got some No Motor Zone stickers that they printed up for their No Motor Zone forum.
Yeah.
So they're going to be giving us some of those as well. And don't worry about that phone in the background. Sorry. But
pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
That's right. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. What else, man? There's just so much, man.
And then we saw a post this week, and somebody actually brought it up on the site there. Big sponsor. we're not gonna release that yet, right?
No, I'm not giving out any of that information yet. Y'all can just marinate just on it for a little while and
let it brew. That's right.
Let it drive you crazy. That's right. But it's definitely going to be good, man. It's, you know what's funny, Chip, is that I've gotten so many businesses and companies that have stepped up and come to me. You know, I honestly have only sent out, I think, maybe 5 to 10 emails.
Right.
I mean, everything else, people just came to me on Facebook or via email or whatever, and like, listen, we need to be a part of this thing. So it's definitely growing in popularity for sure. I mean, just think, like, we've got people coming up. We got vendors that are going to be there. Now, this is pretty cool. And I know there's probably a lot of folks that don't really want to hear all about what's going to happen there. If you're not going to get to go, it's going to really suck to be you. But we've got Dragonfly Boat Works, which, in my opinion, next to Hell's Bay, makes about the prettiest flat skiff on the planet. They also do paddle boards, dragonfly paddle boards. Well, they're going to come up with a few of their paddle boards for people to be able to try out. Custom Ginu is going to be there with their No Motor Zone special. But I mean, there's just like the list for that just goes on and up. We know Woody's going to come down from Natives.
Yep, and he's bringing the big trailer.
Yeah, that's what I heard. And I know we got Drew Gregory and Brooks from Jackson. They're coming. I've put out the invitation to Wilderness, Ocean, Hobie, Malibu, pretty much everybody. New Canoe, Diablo. So, you know, whoever wants to show up is more than welcome to come out. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be a very no pressure, let's just hang out. It's a boondoggle, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the intention for us to put on these events is for us to just be able to get together as a kayak fishing community, bring some new people into the sport, and grow it into the craziest thing going. So
that's it. Yeah, that's absolutely the point of it. And you know whose fault it is, right? Everyone who is our point of contact for the previous boondoggle is directly responsible for the next one, because they set the bar so dang high. And I'm speaking for the last one. I mean, the Loziers just set the bar way up there, and we had a great time up in Virginia Beach. And now, you know, Chuck is just working his tail off trying to do better. And that's just poor Chuck.
Yeah, poor Chuck. it's almost fun. Like, it is fun.
It is fun.
To me, it's a challenge to get manufacturers sometimes to step up and do something. But I think that because of what went down in Jokolowski, I think that there are so many of these folks that saw a return, even if it was just a kind, hi, thank you so much for supporting us at the boondoggle email or Facebook message, that it's a no-brainer for them to step up. That's the only way these companies do this. The companies don't do this because they like us. The companies don't do these types of things because they like kayak fishermen in general, or because, you know, they're buddies of mine or buddies of yours or whoever. It's all about what's in it for them. You know, they need to get some sort of compensation, whether it be by way of sales, by way of notoriety, by way of likes on Facebook, whatever. I mean,
it's a common theme,
and so go ahead.
I mean, when you know who's manufacturing it and you know them as people, you know, you're not just thinking, oh, it's something from Walmart, you know, then it makes that product more important to you. You know, it's like the next time I go in, when I go, do I reach for, a Walmart jig head, or do I reach for, a Tommy head jig, or do I reach for a Slayer, or do I go for a Gulp, you know? When you meet those people and you fish with them and stuff, it's like, I know, you know, from my experience of being down there for the DOA Paddlers event, you know, I mean, I look at DOA baits a little bit differently. I feel a little more confident in them because I've seen those guys fish them, and I've seen them catch big fish with them, and I know who they are, you know, and I fished with them. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you know, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know what's really cool for me is what you just said. I mean, building a personal relationship with people within the industry is kind of a neat opportunity and kind of a unique opportunity that not a lot of people get. And in years past, in order to get this close to manufacturers and reps and so on and so forth, you had to sell stuff or you had to be a buyer. You know, and now we figured out a way to bring these people to the boondoggle.
Yeah.
And make them just one of us.
And word of mouth. Like,
yeah. So now where, you know, like you say, it's not, oh man, I'm a huge fan of so-and-so. It's, hey, I got his cell phone number. I fished with him last week. I'm going to give the guy a call and you know, thank him for what a great job they do with their products and whatnot. I mean, it's, you know, I love it, man. I mean, my dream ever since I was a little boy has always been to be in this industry in some way, shape, or form. And I can tell you with the utmost confidence that I've already reached my dreams as far as being able to say that, you know, some of these guys are like really close friends of mine. Like my Pure Fishing rep, my buddy who's a rep here for Florida for Pure Fishing, who owns everything under the sun, Pure Fishing does, that is. Brian, he's probably not going to be able to come because they got the Miami Boat Show the same weekend. But he's going to hook it up. I mean, and he's going to do it mainly just because we're buddies, you know, because Pure Fishing is so big, they don't really need to see the return in it. But, yeah, so it's just really cool. I don't know. It'll be fun. We're going to have a great time. The one thing I need to stress, and I did it a little bit on the Facebook page, is I have to know how many kids are coming. Uh-huh. And when I say kids, I'm not going to try and exclude anybody's children, but I definitely want to focus on the youth of the groups coming. So
the youth.
I'm going to say the youths. I'm going to say like the 12 and unders. Okay.
Yeah.
If we can get solid numbers of how many 12 and unders are showing up, I know Gator Dave wants to donate T-shirts to the kids.
Right.
And you know, I'm trying to work with the state of Florida right now on securing rod and reel combos.
Yep, that's cool.
So, you know, but I can't go to them asking for a certain number if, you know, I don't really know how many it is.
We don't know.
I don't want kids to feel left out. I'll go for a few more than what I hear.
Right.
Just to cover any, you know, unforeseen children that should just show up. But, you know, I think I got an email yesterday. And the person asked me, what's the plan? What's the schedule?
And schedule.
I'm like, well, the schedule is simple. We're going to fish a lot. And other than that, it's pretty much wide open.
Saturday, we do have the rough schedule.
We have a rough schedule. Rough schedule.
Friday night.
Friday night.
Yep.
We're going to have a meet and greet / social time, whatever.
Yep.
95%. Yeah, Friday evening. I'm 95% sure to have entertainment lined up for that as well.
Cool.
Which will be cool. And then we're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs and that kind of thing provided for a small fee from Cars Park. So when you come into town, you don't have to worry about cooking your dinner and none of that crap. You can relax and just drink a cold beer or a tea or whatever and hang out. Saturday, at some point, I'd like to do a miniature door prize session for the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of give them their own little spotlight to where, we're, you know, the adults can cheer for them when the little number gets called out or whatever and they feel special, whatever. I think it's cool.
Cool.
Then we're going to do our dinner, as we always do, customary for Saturday nights. And after the dinner's over, we'll wrap up with our hopefully not too terribly long door prize session. But I'm going to pre-warn everybody. Everything is going to be done in advance as far as packages this time for me. I'm not going to do the 7 tables full of crap and I'm just going to walk down the line and make up prize packs as I go along. Everything will be kind of done in advance. And then after that's over, social time continues for those who want to partake, because in February the weather should be perfect where if you wake up at 5:30 or 6 o'clock to get out on the water, well, good luck on you, because most of the time that's just a giant waste of time. Like tomorrow we're not even going to get to the ramp until probably 7:30 just because the water temperature's cooler, the fish don't move on the flats that early. Everything's a little bit more laid back. And then Sunday, obviously, our potluck, and which was brought back by popular demand. And
we're just going to do it on Sunday instead of Saturday now. And we're still working on the Saturday meal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I'm pretty. But what we discussed before, Chip, I'm 99.9% sure that's what it's going to end up going with. But
right.
I'm just still waiting to get word back on that. But Yeah, so it should be cool. We've got a number of media outlets that are wanting to join us. I know Florida Sportsman's going to have, I think, at least one writer out there. I know I heard somebody from Gap Magazine wants to show up. Coastal Angler Magazine wants to be there. I believe Florida Sport Fishing wants to be there. The local newspaper, I think, is going to be there. I'm not sure, but I think we're working on one of our local news stations to come out. Somebody else that I know was helping me out with that. Because I really want to get Brevard County as much publicity and Carr's Park as much publicity as I can. Because we, God knows we can use it without having the Space Center there. So. But it'll be fun.
Cool. And you know what? If folks want to send you some info on their 12 and unders that are going to show up, they can email you. And I just set you up an email. I'll tell you what the password is in a minute later. But Chuck at kayakfishingradio.com. Got your new email address there, man. So
sweet. So, number 19.
Yeah, you got to remember passwords for all of them now. So, yeah. No, actually, it forwards to your other one. So Chuck at kayakfishingradio.com and let him know if you got a 12 and under or more than one 12 and under that's going to be at the Boondoggle. Because he's trying to work another sponsor deal, and we'll make sure that that happens for him. So, all right, that sounds like a lot of fun, man. I mean, now one thing is, Amory was like Disney. Yeah, Jim brought up a good point that Disney and Universal Studios, SeaWorld, and all that is only about an hour away. So, if you're bringing friends or family that don't fish, then that's a good option for them there. It's real close by. There's also Kennedy Space Center, which is really cool. If you're kind of a science geek like me, I always had fun going around and playing with the stuff that they got there. So I got to go behind the velvet ropes and play with some of the really cool stuff. So it was a lot of fun. But, yep, it's coming up, and I actually had a little machine. We're almost to double digits. I mean, we're almost to, you know, double digit away from the Boondoggle. I think we're at something like 105 days or something like right now. I know that, you know, I was going to say before, and they just jumped off. We lost them there, but Stan is going to be really, really bad. He was going to be mad when Holly sees that Dragonfly stand-up paddleboard, man. He's going to have to buy one of those for Holly, I know. You know, so.
That was kind of planned a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool. And your buddies from Inshore Power Boats are going to be there also, right, with something new?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just talked to Brad Ball, who owns Inshore Power Boats, today. And he's got the hull, the first hull design laid out. So, he thinks it's just a little bit too wide right now. He's working on trying to tweak it. I'm hoping to be able to get over there sometime next week to kind of see where he's at, what his ideas are, maybe throw him in some, you know, kayak knowledge and see what he comes up with. But the guy, like, literally is all about it right now. So hopefully.
So cool. We've got a manufacturer that's going to bring a prototype boat out there and let us play with it, right?
Yeah. As long as everything goes as well as planned and he has a prototype that he's proud of, he'll have it out there with us. I mean, he'll camp out there with us anyway, but he definitely wanted to do some sort of a paddle craft. And I believe, don't hold me or him to it, but I did catch him saying that if he has it done in time, he's going to be giving one away.
Oh, well. All right, we won't say that twice. We don't want to jinx it. So, All right, so we're running around the top of the hour now, so that's cool. You're headed out to No Motor Zone tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Be throwing plastics at Cruising Redfish.
Yeah. No, Melita, you didn't hear anything. You have to go back and download the podcast to see what he said. So. All right, plastics at the No Motor Zone. That'll be awesome. Jim, you got plans for the weekend, man? Are you going to go do any fishing this weekend?
You know, I think we're going to I'm going to tie some more flies for my next three trips I got coming up in November and December. And I think we're going to go up to Blue Ridge and get some apples that are coming season, maybe do some pick-your-own apples. That's going to be the excitement for me and the wife this weekend.
If it will warm up a little bit, I'd love to ride my motorcycle up there and do that. We used to do it in California when the apples would come in. We'd ride up into the mountains and get some apples and stuff. So, yeah.
You know, my flies have gotten real. My fly supply have gotten pretty low, so I need to tie for. I've tied a couple dozen. Need a couple dozen more.
Right. Okay. And if you were looking for something to do, Saturday is the Georgia Kayak Fishing annual event. Their annual meeting and stuff, and that is down south. It's not at the Georgia, the Go Fish place near Macon, but it's a little bit further south of that. But you can check out GeorgiaKayakFishing.com if you were interested, if you're in Georgia. But anyways, yeah, R. Lee says he's going to be in a tree. Deer moving after the front. That's right. Yeah, we just open up gun season over next door. And actually, gun season's open here in Georgia. And they just opened bow season over in Alabama. So go stick a Bambi, get some forest groceries, right? Flounder fishing for Melita. All right. Well, folks, thanks for joining us. Another Thursday has gone by. And you know what? We are actually closing in. From December of 2010 to current, we will shortly, probably by the end of this year, we will go over 100,000 live and downloaded listens to the Kayak Fishing Radio shows. Is that? Can you believe that, Chuck?
That's incredible.
Yeah, we're just about 80,000 right now, so we're going crazy, man. So. All right, tight lines to you. Make sure you take your kid fishing. Send Chuck an email. Let him know if you got a youngster joining us at the boondoggle in February. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Chuck. Jim, you guys have a good one. We'll see you next time.
Later.
Thanks, Chip.